The title of today's message is Think It Through. And my text, the first text I'm going to use is from Philippians 2, where Paul writes, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Lord, let us listen to what you have spoken to us this morning, that our attitudes impact how we are spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Father, I pray that today, that though we may not see what's going on or understand, we may be in a place that's hard. You want us to plant that flag. Say, "Jesus, you're good. I'm going to follow you." Lord, today, let us make that choice. In your name, amen. So what I want to talk about today is I'll make a suggestion. Don't be a Gollum. You see, Gollum was this everyday dude. He was this hobbit. And then he saw this magic ring. And if you've seen the movie, if you've read the books, my precious, that was his life, his whole life. And he went from being this normal-looking hobbit thing to this. Do you want to look like that spiritually? Then don't be thankful. You want to look like that spiritually? Get too wrapped up in the things of this world rather than the things of Christ. Now, what we fixate on molds us and shapes us. We have to be thankful to the Lord because he encourages us. When I'm thankful to God, when I take the time to thank God, then it changes who I am. It changes my perspective. You know, in December of 2020, Najma Kahami wrote an article, and she entitled it, "Gratitude Protects Against Depression." Now, I'm not here to say I battled depression. I get it. I'm not just saying that you're going to say thank you, thank you, thank you, then you're going to leave here today and skip to your car. I get that. I do get that. But what I'm trying to say is when we move and we thank God, we get a grateful attitude. God changes us. Why? We are transferring our focus from ourselves to the living God. It's kind of like I was going to bring this article, I didn't, that talked about worship music. And what happens when we worship throughout the day, we take the time to put on worship music, it transfers our energy, it transfers our focus from us to God, and it changes who we are. So if the enemy, Satan, wants us to be this guy wrapped up in this world, I need to make more money, I need to do this, I'm worried about this. And again, I'm not downplaying the struggles of emotions, but I am saying Jesus is here for you. You know, in Philippians, Paul wrote a letter that was consistently positive and personal. There's 104 verses, 51 references to Jesus Christ. Choice often determines outcome. Gratitude is a full-time state of mind. First point I want to make is attitudes impact relationship. Paul says, don't grumble, don't dispute. The Bible tells us, as far as it is with you, be at peace with all people. If you look at the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, if you look at Jesus, what he does is he doesn't just talk to us how we're to act. He talks to us about the insides. Don't lust after a woman, but even if you don't commit adultery, lust, think about it. What does he say about forgiveness? Forgive 7 times 70. That's a lot of times. But they did me wrong. Forgive 7 times 70. I heard a teaching on the way in today. I like what the pastor was talking about, R.C. Sproul. He's talking about Stephen getting stoned. And while they're chucking rocks at his head and his chest and he's dying, he looks up and he sees the revelation of God and he says, Lord, receive my spirit. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The world today will tell you to attack and pay back. We're called to be blameless. We're called to be innocent in our relationships. We can't be the cause of strife in your relationships. Yes, what Randy said was true. There are sometimes our elders' meetings get pointed, but it is followed up by emails and texts that ask forgiveness for our attitudes. We are human beings, and if you know me at all, I am going to react. But then I followed up and said, forgive me. I was in the flesh. I was operating for me, not how God wanted me to be. And Paul talks about in Philippians, we're supposed to be a living testimony of how an attitude of faith and thankfulness prevents us from being caught up in bondage of negativity and hopelessness. We all know people that they come your way and they talk to you, and on the inside you're going, ugh. Because all they do is complain. Do you want to be around those people? I don't. I want to be around the people that even though life sucks, excuse my language, they're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Even though people are killing them, they're saying, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In life and in all relationships, you have ups and you have downs. This woman's been married to me for 43 and a half years. You don't think she knows the valleys of relationship? Hello, newsflash. But you keep your eyes on God. Paul says we are to shine as lights in the world. This world is dark. They need people that are unshakable. They need people that plant their flag that won't be moved from the hope of Jesus Christ. We need to hold fast to the word of life, Paul writes. The Bible has to be important to us. Paul is writing this about focusing on Christ and being thankful, even though at the time his life is being threatened and he knows that it's in danger. Make the effort to be thankful. I came across a letter by Pastor Yang from China. The government put him in jail for the crime of being a Christian. So he's in jail. Doesn't know when he's going to get out. He was in for years. And he writes a letter to his wife. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Just this part. He says, after reading your letter, I know of some of your concerns. Praise the Lord by singing the song, The Sun Above the Clouds. The Lord has prepared this song for you and me. I sang it many times and am so joyful. He is in a Chinese prison. I am sharing it with you. Never see the dark clouds covering the sky and always see the sun above the clouds. When you take a plane, you will see sunshine all over the world after it breaks through the clouds. Then he goes on to say, never be dejected and despondent. Always look up at our Lord. I don't think anybody in this room is going to leave today and go directly to prison. Especially a Chinese prison. I'm not talking about the one down the road here. He says, always look up to the Lord and always keep the spiritual life above the chaos of the real environment. Rest in God's arm. Some rely on chariots, some on horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're in a dark season. Maybe you're struggling. You got to be thankful. You know, I didn't have time to do it. I was going to buy a bunch of little notepads and give everybody a notepad, but I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to take, before you lay your head down at night, I want you to thank God for three different things. Thank God for three things in your life. Paul goes on to write Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know what it doesn't say? Rejoice in the Lord when Syracuse wins in football. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when you get a bonus at work and you're making oodles of money. One of the testimonies, not to embarrass anybody, of Randy and Kate Ziegler is, yes, they lost their son and went to home be with the Lord, but they know what it is to rejoice in the midst of that hardship. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Boy, I got to pray about that. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What happens when we do that? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to rejoice in the Lord. If you're anything like me, we focus on the here and now. We focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. We tend to look at what other people have, and we fall into the trap of comparing. You know, God's having fun with me in my neighborhood. There are 6, 7 brand new cars in my neighborhood. 8. Only one's a car. The rest are trucks and SUVs. I am thankful for what I drive. Don't get me wrong. But do I notice? And my neighbor got one perfect SUV for a perfect color. And every day I look out the window, there it is. And I am just so thankful that he has it. The last time he got one, it was an ugly brown color. It didn't faze me at all. So it's easy to look at others and fall into the trap of comparing. But rejoice! Life is not like a Hallmark movie. It doesn't always get perfect in November and December. Now, I did hear, and this could be just a rumor, Hallmark is really working at having a new storyline for next year's Christmas movies. I could be wrong. But life isn't always that way. It's kind of like I shared this before. Those of you that love Christian movies, good. I'm so glad they're actually getting good. We used to watch them up north when I was pastoring up there, and they'd have movie night and like Facing the Giants. Great. Go in the woods and pray you get a brand new pickup truck. Lie. I have tried this, and I walk into my driveway, and there ain't no brand new pickup truck. So I'm glad that sometimes Christian movies are really getting, like, realistic. So what do you have? What do I have? Hopefully you have salvation through Jesus Christ, where you have said, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Jesus is your son. He died for my sins. Why did Jesus die? Because the wages of sin is death. And when I said, please forgive me, God, I know Jesus is your son. I give him my life. My identity is now Christ. I have chosen not to live for me, but to live for him. Like I said, when Paul wrote this letter, Christian friends were disagreeing with him. I don't know what that's like. And his life was in danger. You know, Anthony referenced an old song when he prayed. How about this one? Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. When you read those verses, isn't it cool how you don't have to make an effort? You just read it and you just live that way, and nothing ever bothers you ever again. No, it's like what Cynthia was saying. We have to make that choice. We have to get intentional. Verse 6 in Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. That word means don't be pulled in a bunch of different directions. Don't be strangled by worry. We have to learn to take time, to take a step back, to turn off all of our devices, and to just sit quietly with God. Maybe you listen to worship music. Maybe call a good Christian friend to pray for you. But when life is hard, that's when we have to go after the Lord. We have to get alone with Him. We have to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We need to reflect on the greatness of God. It talks about having supplication. That means get intense with your prayer. Jesus got intense. He was sweating drops of blood. So it's okay for you to get real with God when life is hard. It's okay for you to tell Him how you feel. He can handle it. It's okay to get intense with God and to let Him know your needs and what you're going through. You see, what we're talking about, how you live your life, is important. Maybe you live your life this way, and you put on dark glasses, and life is gloomy, and you look like Gollum. Woe is me, life really stinks. And, you just can't get out of your own way. When you got these things on, start praying for other people. Start thanking God. Or maybe you wear these bad boys. By the way, these aren't ours. If you want them afterward, they're all yours. I put them on. I feel like I should sing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road for some reason. But anyways, you got rose-colored glasses. Life is just hunky-dory. No, it isn't. But I'm saved. I got Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful you guys can take me serious with these things on. No, rose-colored glasses is life is hard. Your life isn't fair. Life is not fair. It never will be until you go home to be with Jesus, because we live in a broken world. Or maybe, and these are my favorite, everything's just perfect. Now, these bad boys are really good when you're in a blizzard. I'm going to tell you. If you don't have any yellow glasses, get some. Oh, you just see everything brighter in the storm. See, those are closer to Jesus than anything because it illuminates the way. So then you got to take these things off. And again, anybody wants them, they're yours for the asking. How do you look through life? Do you have the dark glasses where everything stinks? Where you get a present and you say, that's good, but I wish I had that. December 26th, how many presents do you return? Or are you just thankful? Do you have those dark, or do you have rose-colored glasses where everything is just hunky-dory? Jesus died for everybody, gosh darn, we all go to heaven. You can believe that right to hell, because it's not true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Or maybe you got these things where, it does brighten things up, but you can just kind of hide behind them and you don't really see what's going on. How about we take all of those off and we read like Philippians 2, do all things. I'm going to do something I hate. Say the word all without grumbling. Now you can be quiet. Or disputing. I do not have that down. Please understand, I am preaching to myself today. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. But don't they know they're not doing things my way? This is one of the things I heard Cynthia say in her encouragement. Get over yourself. Life ain't going to be done your way. And guess what? God is not going to do things your way. He's going to do things His way. But But I know this is a process. This is why Paul writes about it in chapter 4 at the end of that letter. You see, Paul makes a connection between prayer and choosing thankfulness. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Always have that connection with God. It doesn't mean I expect you on your knees all day praying, but it means you are always thinking of the Lord regardless of what you're doing in life. And you give thanks in all circumstances. Did you hear? God says, give thanks in all circumstances. He does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. No matter what we're going through, you can be thankful. God tells us to live this way so that we will be free from the grip of emotions. And when we have a new perspective, we can live above anxiety and resentment. But we can't do this on our own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God. You know, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and protector of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I was online today, and a friend of mine from high school who's a Christian, he had Billy Graham preaching a sermon describing the last days of Christ, and it had the movie Compassion of the Christ, and it showed what that was like. You know, we can read and talk about all Christ did for us, but until you watch a movie like that and you see what actually happened to Jesus Christ, who says, who for the joy set before him, the joy wasn't being beaten up. The joy wasn't to have nails pounded through your hands. The joy wasn't carrying that cross. The joy was he knew what God was going to do through him. The joy, if you want happiness in your life, you will never fully attain it if you do things your way. You might have momentary happiness. I get that. But deep down, you won't. But when you do things God's way, even when life is hard, even when life is painful, you know he is with you. We're eternity-minded, knowing that this life will pass and we're going to be with him. I love this verse. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog. Set my foot upon a rock, making my steps secure. I've shared this example before, but I'm going to use it again. I was talking to a pastor friend when I was over in Ghana. He said, this happened in one of our villages. See, we had a communal latrine where everybody would go in this outhouse and it would flow out the back, and you know what I'm talking about. And this little baby boy fell into it. And that village got together down into that miry bog, and he dragged that little boy out. That's what Jesus did for me. August 10th, 1979. I said yes, and he took me out of that. Now, do I still struggle with depression and stuff at times? Absolutely, but I got Christ, and I am thankful that I got him, that he drew us up, if you let him, out of the pit of destruction. God's not going to force you to do it. You have to make that choice. You know, we talked in home group this week, and one of the things we talked about was, how does anybody go through life without Jesus? I don't know. You know, sometimes people I love that aren't walking with God, I just want to shake them, because I don't know how somebody can say no to Jesus. Because once you say yes to him and you submit to him, it is amazing the change that happens inside. Then you can be like Stephen and say, come at me with those rocks, but I got Jesus, and we go forward because my flag is planted. It doesn't mean all of your relationships will go great. It doesn't mean everything's going to go your way. It doesn't mean when you go to the doctor, she's going to give you a glowing report. But it means God says, I have you for eternity. I know depression is real. I know it can intensify during this time of the year, but I do know in the midst of pain and suffering, when we call on God, He is there and says, be still and know that I am God. When we have a thankful heart and we start making lists, God, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, then it changes your attitude. We can minister to ourselves if we take the time to quit thinking how we want life, which is a death sentence in my opinion, and we're thankful for what we have. Then we see hope. We see joy. We see peace increase. You know, I've been doing this for over 36 years in ministry. I have witnessed so many people go through hard times. I have seen the people that weather it, not making it any easier, but they keep their eyes on the cross. They keep their eyes on Jesus Christ. I see people that they succumb to the situation and they just get overwhelmed in quicksand and emotion and hopelessness. And my God is not a God of hopelessness. My God is a God of hope. That when life stinks and it seems like everything's against me, or maybe I'm a Chinese pastor in prison for loving Jesus Christ, I can still write to my wife and say, take heart, because God is real. That's what we're talking about today. Thank through it. Regardless of what you're doing in your life today, be thankful. Trust God and praise Him. Bring this to a close. Summary. To a large extent, we can impact our outlook. We hit what we aim for. You're driving down the road. I was talking to a sheriff about this. You look at that tractor trailer on the side, pretty soon you're going toward that tractor trailer. And the sheriff told me, they taught us when we pull somebody over on the major highway, we take them to the exit, then we get out of the car. You hit what you aim for. Focus on what you're grateful for. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Would you close your eyes? Lord, I admit this time of year frustrates me periodically. I can see the commercials, I can see the cheesy movies, where everything always ends great, because gosh darn it, it's just a wonderful life. When we're thankful, when I am thankful, changes my attitude. When I say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am taking my focus off of Dick Beaumont and putting them on Jesus Christ. When I say thank you, God, sometimes it's through tears. I'll be honest, sometimes it's through clenched teeth. Sometimes I say it, God, and you know I don't even really mean it, but I'm trying to minister to myself. I pray that today we will thank it through, that we will be thankful throughout our lives, Lord. I thank you for what you did, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful you brought us back to Oswego, to New Covenant. I thank you that the hope that is set before us through Jesus Christ, and I pray for anybody today that's struggling, that you would touch them. And if you are struggling, if you need prayer afterward, please come up and see me. Talk to one of the elders. And I'm not downplaying depression. If you need counseling, that's great. But I'm talking about the focus of our lives today. Let us not look at what we don't have or what should be. Let us be thankful for what is and what we do have. And Jesus, I thank you that you paid the price so that I could have eternity with you. Each passing day, Lord, I grow closer to death, which will bring life. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray that if there's anybody in this room and they haven't said yes to you, that right now, today would be the day of their salvation. And if you haven't done that, I would just say right now, you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, I need you in my life. I'm going to live for you. It's as easy as that. And I'm going to ask you to do that. And if you do that, share with somebody so they can pray for you. But Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this luncheon we're going to have, Lord. Thank you for the food and for the fellowship, Father. Thank you for New Covenant Community Church. What an awesome powerhouse, Lord. Thank you that you love us enough that you have gathered us in this place. In your name we pray. And they all said, amen. Have a blessing. When you're ready, through that door.